Okay, this is Chris Fisher with the Connecticut Crossroads Project, and I'm joined here with, what's your name?
Harold Ranistead.
And?
Joyce Ranistead.
And how long have you folks lived in Bridgewater?
It's been 43 years, and we're leaving on Friday after 43 years.
What brought you here?
An accident. We were visiting with a friend, and we were looking around for a place to stay, and then we saw a sign that said Bridgewater 1 mile. Well, we turned down 133, we got to the stop sign, and it was absolute silence. What happened, Harold? What were you thinking?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. We stopped, and we looked, and the lights were coming on in town, the church and this village store and all that. And I says, oh my goodness, do you see what I see? And he says, yep. And we were looking for a house. And do you see what I see? He said, yes. This reminded us so much of Vermont, of where we would go to our ski club. And it was peaceful and it was quiet. And that the next day we told the agent, we only want Bridgewater. Only three houses were for sale at that time in Bridgewater. And with a 10-year-old child, a girl who was very lively, you know, he showed us in the woods. And then, where are my neighbors? Who am I going to talk to? And then he showed us the house on Hatchup Hill Road. No closets, but it had a pool in the back. That's just sold for, that was $62,000 at that time, sold a couple of days ago for $690,000.
My goodness.
And then he showed us our house, 152 Main Street South. I was looking for a contemporary house, a modern house. Here we go into a salt box house with a freezing bedroom for our daughter on the north, and we are facing the road. And then the agent looks at us. I said, this is fine. I can walk around the house. I have neighbors across the street. We're settled. You know, we'll buy this house. And that's what we did. An acre, 1.2 acres, and we've been happy there.
I think it just came on the market when we bought it.
It wasn't even on with the stewardess and her husband, a pilot. They were putting it on the market.
They were moving up to Roxbury, right?
No, they were divorcing, and she was going to Woodbury, and he was taking off, you know. So that was the story there. And when we signed the contract, she was a beautiful woman to look at and a nice person to talk to. I said at the closing, well, where's my bikini? Because she would stop the traffic. The neighbor told us she stopped all the traffic mowing her lawn in her bikini.
Oh, gosh.
It was a joke. It was fun. And it's been good ever since.
Was Bridgewater like where you guys came from?
No. Where were you from, Harold?
Well, first of all, I was born in Norway. So I came from a city in Norway, but we were on the edge of town.
Okay.
And the thing I had is I was born in 1937, and in 1940, we got attacked by the Germans. The Germans occupied us for 5 years. And my father was in the U.S. Merchant Marines, and he was in the United States, and my mother was in Norway. So we had a very tough time getting food and things like that, you know. But we had a house there in the mountains, similar to what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And we came over to this country in 1948.
Wow.
And we came to Brooklyn because there was a large Scandinavian community in Brooklyn. And I went to school there. I went to Brooklyn Tech, which was a technical high school, and City College, and I met Joyce at City College. So that's how I got attached to Joyce. You know?
Yeah. Grandparents were born in the Ukraine, my mother in Poland, but when they came over, they settled in Brooklyn, and then grandpa bought a house in Queens, Middle Village, Queens, 7917 69th Road, and it was a semi-attached house with a little garden, but you couldn't walk around the house. And then when we got married, we lived in East Flatbush, and then we went to Teaneck, New Jersey, and my only requirement was that I could walk around the house.
We had owned the house there.
Yeah.
We lived there for 10 years.
And it had a garden. And then when we came up here and saw where we were, the thing that struck me was the garden. The Garden by the House, and it is three separate plots, but she had done a nice job with the garden, and I became a fanatic as to gardening. And now at this age, somebody else helps me with the gardening, but we planned the garden, and we've spread it out. So now we have a butterfly garden, which I will have in my new house.
Is it, I forget what I was going to ask. So you moved to town, and what was the first thing you did?
Well, what did we do?
Well, we wanted our daughter to go to
walk to school.
Walk to school.
Okay.
And she was in the fifth grade.
And here, now the fifth graders are down at the school here. She could walk to school.
Right.
It was up on the hill, so I had to put her on the bus. And there was a little hanky panky bullying going on the bus at that time. Mm-hmm. And she's 54 now, so. There was a little bit of bullying going on, so I had to report that to the assistant principal, who was Blanchette Bailey.
Oh, gosh.
And so she was back there. I could rely on Blanchette and the people at the school. But she did very nicely. The school system here is excellent. The elementary school, I wish they had voted to build a new school. They were people that worried about their taxes. I didn't worry about my taxes. They were under $5,000. Mm-hmm. They don't know taxes from being in New Jersey or New York City. New York City's not bad, but parts of it. So here she had to get on the bus, and she would get off at the village store, and she would walk home from the village store, or I would pick her up. And so that was life, with the school. And the school up on the hill was really, people go send their kids to Canterbury and Gunnery, but this was a prep school. The children that she went to school with all went to well-known colleges, and they were pushed, and they were pushed, and they were pushed, And she even was in a group where they did these short answers, and I was teaching in Brookfield. Brookfield team came to me, and they said, "Is that your daughter, Eva?" I said, "Yes," because they were on TV, and they were doing this debating in that. I said, "Yes." She says, "Oh, my gosh." So she doesn't mince words, that's
right,
for sure. Now she's a teacher.
So I know you guys found Bridgewater by accident, but why did you come up here?
Because he had a job.
I worked in Danbury.
Okay, what did you do, Harold?
I was in the computer business.
Really?
I worked for General Datacom, which they sold the boxes that you use to get into the networks.
Okay.
So I did that, and then I switched job, and I had to work in New Jersey, and so I commuted from here to New Jersey.
How many hours did that take?
Well, about an hour and a half. I could get
it. Okay. It was a long drive.
Yeah.
So, but the thing about this area up here, the thing that I'll always remember was the fair, the Bridgewater Fair, plus the parades that we had at the fair.
Yeah.
So.
What's so special to you about the fair?
Well, first of all, it was a great place for the young people to work. For that weekend, they worked. We were at the restaurant. What was the name of the?
You were the fried dough tent.
Fried dough tent.
Then you worked on the games too.
Yeah.
And then he sold. I joined the groups in town. I recommend everybody do that. So the Bridgewater Women's Auxiliary, the Firemen's Auxiliary. In fact, they had the dinner last night. So we would always march. And the thing that impressed me is that the bagpipers would go first, and then they would do, it gives me the chills, the wall of honor, and they would almost form an arch. They'd turn around, and they'd be on either side of us, and then they would let us parade through.
Oh, wow.
And it was really, that was really very good, and they'd play special songs and that. And at the dinner last night, the young group is finally joining. You need the young people to get involved. And last night, there were some of the oldies but goldies. We were there,
That's awesome.
What was the last night that you went to? The
auxiliary. They went to Italia Mia, They have a dinner once a year.
Joyce has been a member of the auxiliary for
Over 20 years, And this is a, you know, he was in the fried dough tent and I was in the cake lotto tent. So if you came and put your bet down, you know, you would maybe win a prize. And the kids, we always had them win something right. by somehow. And then what was it, Chris? He's a statesman now. He came by and we'd, and then, oh, what's his name? I can't think of his name now. That's slipping my mind.
Chris Murphy?
Murphy came by. And then the other one who's always in town.
Art O'Neill?
We'll figure him out later. But we'd yell, get your hands out of your pockets and get that money on the table. And the other thing was the tractor parade in the fall. And we had a group of friends. You know, women meet women. So I met, I'll tell, maybe I can use a name, but Vivian Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diane Sinek was Diane Ledbetter. The three of us became fast friends.
Okay.
And we raised our children together. They had two boys around Eva's age. And so did, so Eva would say, meet somebody with girls who are friends. And then David Harvey was the one, when there's a tractor parade, said, okay, you know, we said, let's have a tractor parade. And they would come to our backyard and work. And I have a picture here of the first one we joined in. Since Harold's a Viking, it was called Take a Liking to a Viking. And all we had was hay bales. And then our daughter said, we're making helmets. Oh, so God. She's the Viking's daughter, and I'm the Viking's wife.
Is that Harold right there?
There, you may be, you know. So, and then we went through, and we won a prize. We didn't win a prize,
that's
we won
fabulous.
A prize, you know.
You know, something that struck me with someone else who I spoke with, it was Barbara Vidal. She was telling me that back when she moved to Bridgewater, the people on the fair, like who were organizing the fair, they would call you and ask you to volunteer.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Out.
Yeah, well, we would, went the cake lotto booth, we had a set, you know, the women would work, the auxiliary ladies, but we got the people out. We called them,
mm-hmm.
and each year they signed up. You know, would you do it again? Would you do it again? And here's another one. This is the chicken coop. We all wore red bags, and we were the chickens. And when design of the car is a chicken, and we're sitting in the coop. And the last one, this is, now they know David Harvey, but there's Boot Harvey, that's his father. And this one is the boot camp.
Oh my God.
So the tractor looks like a boot, and then we're sitting in there with Army regalia on.
That's awesome. How long has the tractor parade been going on? I didn't realize it went on this long.
I don't know when it started. I can't figure the year that it started, but the first one we saw, we weren't participating.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we saw, the next year we said, we're going to do that. And we even did, what did we do? The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
One little boy, he was the wizard, and Chris, and his mother was active, Helen Laylock. She was active in the auxiliary, and then also, you know, we just all got together, so...
What do you think the magic of the fair is? Like, what do you think that?
Well, I think everybody has an opportunity to work in it. You know,
right.
The young people can work in it. They work in the food tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they enjoy that, and they get a free meal and they get a free pass to get to the fair.
But I mean, Harold, you're not a young guy, and you still are a volunteer.
I'm a balker. So.
Got it.
So I'm a fair barker. You know, I was at the cake booth where the women brought in their cake, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you take a chance on them. You had to run the wheel like a...
Yeah,
like,
right.
They had a wheel once and then just a bingo.
Yeah, so that was my job, was to get the guy to get the hands out of their pocket and bring some bring some money over here and let's play the cake wheel.
Yeah,
and don't forget, these ladies have been working all night making cakes and you haven't participated. Put your cake down. Put your quarters down.
He did this while I was at the booth.
Right.
And we brought a lot of the money in,
really?
Because people, you know, they were walking by and so here comes the crowd. They're going down the other end. They're going down, and he was able to get people. And he didn't, you know, he didn't bully the people, but he persuaded them.
Right. You know what strikes me about Bridgewater is you look at other towns like say New Milford that. People talk about how New Milford has a green and it has like a place that people go that makes you feel like you're connected to the community. Bridgewater has a downtown, but I don't feel like that's what sucks people together. I feel like there's something else.
It's being involved in the community projects and that. So, like, I was in the auxiliary, I was in the garden club, you know, became co-president of that, was on the library, the Friends of the Library, and then the Library Association. So I was, you know, I became the president of the library, and I was known for cutting the meetings down from 2.5 hours to 45 minutes.
That's a very important skill.
And then the second most important thing was we had to determine, because everybody had off on Sunday and Tuesday. So then on Monday, you have all the holidays, and you had problems with a concern with making somebody get an extra money and time off. So I said, well, change the sign. Close the library on Monday. The library will be closed on Sunday, and it will be closed on Monday. And they looked at me, but the sign was put up. I said, just erase the day. And the third thing was, you know, the nickels and dimes from giving people raises, because originally we had to raise all the money to provide the salaries until the town chipped in. So I said, stop the nickel and diming. So we did a survey of all the, let's stop the nickel and diming. Let's do a survey of the other libraries. And then we came to the board and we all talked together and we said, okay, now this one's going to go up a dollar or something, this one's going to go up this one's going to go up, and there'll be steps that they go up as they go through the years. And mm-hmm. it worked out, you know.
That's awesome, and thank you for that.
The other thing I had, you know, when I was 57, I belonged to an Army Reserve unit in Danbury.
Oh, yeah.
It was
mm-hmm.
a military intelligence unit. Well, I got called up for the first Gulf War that we had.
Okay.
So I was 57, and I got called over. I had to go to Iraq.
Okay.
To Saudi Arabia and then Iraq, you know. And so I got letters from people in town, you know, that because Joyce, and, you know, they all knew Joyce, and she could get them my address and where I was. And then when I came back to Bridgewater, I was a speaker, I think, at the military fair? Or
yeah, it was the Veterans Day or
Veterans
so.
Day,
yeah. When you came back, you were on the bandstand, I think you talked.
Yeah.
The Russians were in town. There was a Russian group that was visitors in town. They were on the bandstand. Everybody saying, what are they doing on there? They put Harold up there, you know. So
it's been, and, you know, the town has been a wonderful town. Nice people.
It's people are concerned about one another. I broke my hip gardening, and before I knew it, I had people bringing dinner from church and from friends and from, you know, people in town, because the people in town become your friends.
Right.
So, and then we had what astounded me was what is now the senior center was first a hotel.
Okay.
I have the chairs from that hotel. And then it became a center for children to go to if they had problems. They would be bused in town. And then it was a drug and alcohol, you know. So I thought the town was very open to considering people who had disabilities, to accepting them in,
yeah.
until it was brought into being the senior center. So, yeah. I had a child who, in special ed, when I started teaching, I worked as a you know, an aide before I went back full time. So she says, I know Bridgewater. I said, how do you know Bridgewater? I ran away. I said, what do you mean you ran away? She says, I was there and I was taking lessons there and I got tired and bored and I ran away. And I said, oh, I can't believe it, but don't run away on me now, you know. So, but it's, and the community and caring, we just lost the member Ash, Mr. Ash from there. But people know one another. You get to know one another.
Right.
And the village store is a place to meet. When I first moved in, Vivian and Diane, we would be there. And then we had a motto, never open the refrigerator door on Saturday morning. So we go down and you would catch up on what's going on in town.
Oh, I love it.
But now we go to town and we look around. It's a lot of young people coming in, which
yeah.
is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's people from other town that have picked up on this place.
What was the store like back then?
Oh, back then it was...
When I first came, yeah. it was a very barren store.
Okay.
It looked like an old-fashioned store.
It was, yeah.
So it, you know, but it opened, I don't know if it was open on Sunday, do you think?
I don't remember what days it was open. No alcohol in town, so you can buy that. So you went and got your bread and your eggs if you needed it, cup of coffee if you wanted to get that. There was a gas station. I have a picture of this, of the store when the gas station was outside. And you could walk through to the bank, and then you could walk through to the post office. So you... You came to the post office. We did. We didn't have a box outside our house. So you did your rounds, you know, and all your business was done in town.
Did you know we had a bank in
Well, two. We had two banks.
Two banks.
Yeah.
Two
Both banks. Of them were here in my tenure. Yeah.
Oh, they were?
But, yeah, I sort of miss having the bank in town.
Yeah, I do, too. They had the ATM machine. That's the same. And then Vivian and Diane, I haven't said this. I tell everybody. Vivian and Diane and I, the three of us, we said, let's do something. So we said, we'll buy the Village Store. It's going to be for sale. So we looked into it, and then we looked at the books. But we needed money at that time because our kids were teenagers, mm-hmm. and they were going to college. And there just wasn't enough to make out of the store. And then you'd have to work the hours, you know.
Right.
And then so one by one, we said, well, we can't do this. We can't afford to do it because we would be losing money, and we wouldn't be making the money that we needed for our kids.
Harold, what was your opinion when Joyce said she wanted to buy the store?
Well, it didn't bother me. I mean, I was okay. You know, I was working. I was probably commuting at that time, but you know, they went through it and they found out that there was a financial. It's going to be a very difficult
and time. The people that did buy it afterward, it wasn't viable either.
Right.
But thank goodness to Mr. May, Peter May and Lenny, they are doing a good deed. They're keeping it going.
Do you like the direction that the store has gone?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's clever. I think it's a good use of space.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
And a general store can't survive regardless of the town.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
In those days, though, you could do a general store,
right.
You know, and I always tease because they sold onions, they sold fruits and vegetables. So over a pound of onions, I met Rosemary Woolwich, and she mm-hmm. said, you know, we're chit-chatting, because you chit-chat, and she said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to try going back into teaching. She says, my husband, Elliot, runs a program. And down in Danbury. And lo and behold, over a pound of onions, I had a job.
Oh, my goodness.
So for a year or so, I worked down there until I went back full-time into, you know,
right.
teaching where I was getting a teacher's salary.
And she taught in Brookfield.
Yeah.
Brookfield
okay.
school system.
So, and that went, you know, that was good. But then he was changing jobs. We should have moved to... we could have, should have moved to New Jersey back then, but then I started, you know, I was putting years in. I said, I'm going to a retirement.
Right. And you would have never met me if you had moved to New Jersey.
No, no. And the librarians here have been wonderful. I mean, was Sandy Neary, and there was Faith Gabriel behind her, before mm-hmm. her. So Faith Gabriel, long meetings, and then Sandy came, and creative people. Always bringing some new idea into the library and willing to listen to others with their ideas. If mm-hmm. anything perked up, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. Let's
right.
do it, you know, so.
Harold, did you volunteer on any organizations in town? I know you were working, so probably you had less time.
Yeah, I think I was on one of the political committees that selected the...
The zoning you were on.
Yeah, I was on zoning, but I also was involved in the... And then selecting, I was a Republican, so I was selecting a candidate for a particular office. You know?
Got it.
So I did that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was always active at the fair. Mm-hmm. I didn't belong to the fair committee, but I always had a good time at the fair.
Right.
Know?
Well, you are known for your partying and your dancing.
Well, you know, I'm going to be in good shape now. I don't know if I told you, but I only get 15 cents a dance up here with the ladies.
Oh.
In the new place we're moving to, we get 25. I get 25 cents a dance.
Well, look at that.
There's a lot of ladies there. The ratio is 2 women to every man, or 3 women to every man.
What was it you were telling me the other day? Though, don't accept any invitations to lunch.
Yes. Oh, because when you go in this place, you go read your newspaper in the lobby, you know. And this one woman, I have to sound so terrible. She says, I'd like to find out about your time in this storm. And I'm thinking, you better stay in the lobby. I said, don't start any rumors. But she's a nice person, and we've had dinner with her. You know, so.
Well, we're making this change because of our aging process. And, you know, this is not a senior center kind of.
It is, though.
Well, okay, they have a great senior center here in town, so they have a very active program. But it doesn't take care of the other things that you need as
right.
a senior.
Well, there's the community caring group. Well, the real reason we're moving is when our daughter got married, she lived in Hong Kong for 5 years, and the children were born there and then came back. So now it's 2 hours to get down there. Mm-hmm. So we don't. When the kids were younger, and since I'm a teacher, I could go on the vacation times down there and work with them and be with them. But after my fall, even before that, we said, no, it's time to go down in case we need help.
Mm-hmm.
And Eva even said, you know, a half hour away from us is great. 10 minutes is not so great, but we'll be a half hour from her.
Okay.
And
for 20 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah, 20 more, 20
so
minutes.
The difference.
Yeah, so, you know, it's much better than 2 hour drive, and we still have time with the teenagers before they take off.
Yeah. Now, you described Bridgewater as sort of this magical place, but I'm curious, why do you think your daughter didn't stay here?
Because the jobs take you someplace.
Yeah.
Well,
so you don't have the control over where you can continue working.
Mm-hmm.
She was out.
Even before that.
She was overseas for work.
Yeah, she's done a lot. Before that, because I'm a city girl, I really am. So the museums were my playgrounds as a teenager. Woolman's Memorial, I went skating there with all the kids, you know, from the block. We went over to the fairgrounds. We went skating there, the pool there. So New York was my playground.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we lived in Teaneck, New Jersey, I wasn't afraid of putting her in a stroller and taking her on the bus across the bridge and then downtown on a bus or the subway and strolling her around, you know. So she grew up, and my mother would take her into the city. We went to plays. We used New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then selecting a college, she ended up at Barnard at Columbia University.
Okay.
So she's a city girl.
Right.
So that's it. And she, we talk a lot about her, but we sent her on a American Field Service program
when
she was in high school, in the summer school. And she became part of a family in Slovenia. And we went to the daughter's wedding there, only daughter in both families. The mothers are both teachers, you know. And then she recently went over there to visit the 81-year-old mother over there. So,
did either of you ever, I know my mom has talked a little bit about this, about how there's always like a little bit of resentment towards people who are from the city. Did you guys ever feel any of that?
No, let's see. No,
I think most of the people that live in the suburbs one came from the city.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they moved to the city because they wanted to have a little more green.
I only feel during the COVID time, when you see the New York City license plates out and you sit in the Village store and you'd say, oh my, you know, everyone's escaping the city, which
right.
they were, they're doing.
Because
you know?
They were scared.
Yeah, but I didn't find a resentment. Mm-hmm. I felt... You know, you're not a very boisterous. You just go with the flow.
Right.
And you go with the flow with the people here. It is their town, and you learn what to do in the town.
Right.
You know, so.
When I was in New York City, we lived there. Then I joined my ski club, which was a Norwegian ski club. It's called Telemark Ski Club.
Okay.
And we bought a house up in Vermont. We still have the house up there. We've had it for 60 years, I think.
Wow.
And you can accommodate 50 people in the house. Mm. It's a beautiful old house built by the president, Teddy Roosevelt, personal doctor.
It's really a commune.
Okay.
Like in the Woodstock time, I've gone through the long dresses. I was college. I was all in black. You know, I wasn't going. I painted. I was, but I ended up to be a science teacher, then business teacher. But you know, you go through the flow with all the costumes and that, and so you know that's how it was. You know, up here, I always say this is Glacamora. You know, this is a Glacamora.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, when the sun goes down and the stars come out and the moon comes out, you sit out on your deck and you look outside, you can sing. And when you meet people, everybody greets you nicely, you know, in a happy tone. You can even say, I've forgotten your name, but the faces are familiar.
Right.
That's number one. The faces are familiar. And you just go with the flow and you hear about, oh, this one and that one and the other, you know, the good things. And then, oh, they're ill or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like Glacamora. It really is.
I love that. It's a really good comparison. Is there
Finian's Rainbow. It's
yes.
A Finian's Rainbow. You may have a troll or an elf in the woods. And if you come to our house now and you look out on the deck, there's an elephant in our garden.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and there's a deer. Because I looked at the tree, and what do I see? And my granddaughter came up, and there is an elephant in our tree. I just hope the new owner keeps it there. And then I look at the other tree, and there's a little deer nuzzling against the doe, her mother, you know, so that's it.
You know, one of my favorite memories, so this conversation's a little bit more personal because I know both of you really well. One of my favorite memories of you two is when you invited the staff over for a party for the library. This was shortly before I left the first time. And it was so splendid. And we all felt so welcomed.
Oh,
and
good,
I think that's both of you.
Yeah.
And are there any other memories you want to share about town? Anything special that comes to mind? Any characters that you'd like to be memorialized?
Let's see. Oh, Alice Rothschild.
Let's talk about Alice.
Yeah. Alice was is a Quaker lady, you know, but they said she was one of nine children born in Illinois. But Alice was a petite lady, but we met her because she had a rental on her property, an apartment over the garage. And Helen Butfield, a graphic designer teacher and an artist, she came to stay up by Alice with her boyfriend and the dog Isadora.
Okay.
So what happens is we met Helen, and we would bring, as we got friendly with her, we went to a party at the house and Eva came along and all that. So, and we met Alice, and Alice was like a little a wizard. She was the Wizard of Oz. She was very, very, very intelligent, knowledgeable, friendly, greeting, having you come into the house for a cup of tea, you know, so that was nice. In her china, there was one teapot that I liked. And then with Helen Butfield, we became good friends with her, and then Isadora became our dog because Helen says the dog's getting too old for the city, for 14th Street. So we said, okay, you know, Eva will have a dog Sunday night through Friday night, and she gets paid $1 a day, but Helen bought the food because the food was, you know, expensive, Isadora. So then we had a dog for a number of years until Isadora died.
Right.
And she had a Buddhist funeral.
Oh, wow.
In Alice's yard, and I said, this town is magical.
It certainly is. A Buddhist funeral in a Quaker's yard.
Oh, yeah.
That's really fabulous. Was Alice working here when you knew her?
No, I didn't know her working here. No, so I didn't realize that, you know. I guess I knew, but I forgot.
Right.
I just knew her as the lady who I would have a cup of tea with.
Right, right.
And a very, very kind person, you know, so.
Well, I mean, I don't have any other questions. This is exactly what I was looking for, unless you have something you want to add.
And how do you find the town? See, you were a child here, too.
Oh, no, I didn't... Oh, I'm sorry, Carol.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up here.
No, but you had somebody you knew.
Yeah, so I find Bridgewater as being one of the most accepting and open communities that I've experienced. And part of that, I think, I worry sometimes that experience is because I have roots here. But then I've heard stories of people who, you know, they had a need, or, you know, there was some shortcoming in their life, and the people of Bridgewater rallied around them and took care of them. And despite the fact that I don't actually physically live in town, I feel like I'm one of you.
Out of town, yeah. Yeah, it's true. But it's because of what you do in the library to bring the town in. That's really important, you know. And if our daughter was only a half hour away, an hour away, we would stay here, because it has become a good town for seniors. What I really am disappointed in is where the senior center was. There was supposed to be senior citizen housing built there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it never came to be. And I voted for that. I wanted that and that. But now you have your senior center, you have the library, you have enough in the church, the Congregational Church, St. Mark's Church, they add to the life of the town, you know, so.
Do you go to the Congo Church or?
No, we ended up in Brookfield at another church, but I said I didn't want to do everything in town.
Right.
And it wasn't the denomination that we want, but the Congregational Church and the St. Mark's Church, we were accepted there.
Right.
So on the during this COVID time, we've gone to services there and on our church and that, and they know if there's a snowstorm or something that's really terrible weather, we might just show up at their church,
right,
the door, and they say, you know, you're welcome.
I love that.
Yeah, so that's it.
Well, thank you.
And just one more
thing. Yeah, no, please.
And then the selectman in town, Bill Stewart,
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years. And now we have Curtis Reed. And I would hope a woman gets in there sometime. But we've had good leaders in town. And if I need anything, I needed something, it'd be silly, a silly little thing, I can call Curtis and have no problems with that, or make a suggestion.
Right. Did you feel that way with Billy, too?
Yeah, Billy, yeah. I mean, he's part of, I mean, he used to have us over after the tractor parade.
Oh, wow.
His house was open, you know, not the house, the grounds and that. So we had big parties there until they got too big, you know? So he was very good. And then all the assistants and the people in the town hall, too, are very helpful, you mm-hmm. know, if you need something. So it's a community that cares.
Yeah.
So, and people come in. I just hope the young people come in with the children. If you have a child in the school, that's the easiest way to meet people.
Right.
Yeah. And then when your children drift off, then you're left with the people, you know, the adults.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch the new people becoming friends and that, so.
Harold, do you have anything you want to add?
He goes with the flow.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much, and I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay, good. All right.